Well, it is a new year. Welcome back, you guys, to the Rolling in the Deep podcast. I am Adele, owner of Babies on Broadway, and I have here with me my main gal, Summer. And we're in a little different setting tonight if you guys have tuned into YouTube, which you know what? At this point, maybe you are now, but you probably haven't because I never even put these up on YouTube. YouTube channel is in the works, but you might see the little clips, right? Mm-hmm. So we're in the dad lounge today, or the parent lounge, actually, I like to call this, where I created a space in Babies on Broadway where I thought people could come like talk about their products and enjoy some bougie coffee and some complimentary, like non-alcoholic fun beverages. I am currently drinking Ohio, it's called. It has nootropics in it and adaptogens. I know, it's been
mushrooms.
A long day. It's been a long day here, but just, yeah, welcome back in, starting off 2024.
Talk a little bit about why we're here. What is going on next door? Let's give a shout out to...
Oh, yeah, Mother Nurture.
Yeah.
So we have started a couple local mom support groups, and one of them is Mother Nurture. We're really excited to have her in our event space. So we're doing our podcast over here today. And so you should check out our social media, her social media, and get joined and connected with mom. She's a great resource for expecting parents and parents already, and she is a dietitian along with a ton of other credentials that I don't want to screw up. So check out her page so I don't misspeak.
Check her out. She does two groups on Tuesdays divided by ages. So depending on the age of your child is the group you should attend.
Yeah. So yeah, great resource. Just trying to bring moms together in the new year. And today our topic kind of a follow-up from our last podcast where we had a guest on. So we had an attorney join us and they kind of talked about navigating the waters of a pending or upcoming divorce. Today we're going to touch on a little bit of co-parenting, a divorce situation. We know that there's a lot of parents out there who are navigating these waters. Summer and I are both in that boat, and we just figured we'd talk a little bit about some of the things that work for us. You know, they might not work for everybody. Divorce is messy. I don't think any of us go into the intention with like, we're going to start our family and this is where you see your life going. So there's that period of time where I think you're navigating the waters of what that looks like. And I think each of us has done a really great job on certain things that we figured we could share and maybe be helpful out there to other parents who are going through the same thing. And I want to like also state that some of this comes like after the cool down period.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, I don't think it's all like roses and sunshine for most right afterwards. So I want to also say that like sharing some of these things, it's not that there wasn't period of times where things were like
real tumultuous,
right? Mm-hmm. And like almost unnavigable. But as time goes on and things grow and things change, there's been some things that I think we've each found that have worked well for us. So I'm going to give you background on a little bit of like where I am in life. So my kids are currently, Remy is 16. I know it breaks my heart. And people keep telling me I don't look old enough to have a 16-year-old. So thank you guys for that. Although these bags under my eyes are clearly stating differently. I might need to go visit those girls at Elite Vitality. This one wrinkle's getting real. It's real prevalent.
I can't even see it.
Oh, it's a baddie. I'm not sure what I'll really do with that. I'll embrace it. But anyway, so 16 for Remington and my youngest is 11. My ex-husband, Eric, is his name. We have been divorced since Flynn was really young. So like I would say around 18 months old is when we separated. Our divorce took a while to finalize. And I would say that the boys were probably, I'm going to go almost like Flynn was maybe like 3, Rem would have been almost 8 kind of when we started maybe navigating co-parenting a little bit. So that's kind of where we're at in our stage. Life has fluctuated a lot with my current ex-husband and our situation. So here are some of the things that I think have worked for us over the years. So one of the things that I wanted to touch on or that I feel like I do a really good job on, I'm going to give myself props for this because I think it sometimes takes a lot of grace and a lot of taking the higher road because it's really easy. And I see this a lot like from the outside watching certain people. And I don't want to put this in the wrong terms, but almost like holding your kids hostage a little bit or using them has potential like, you know, ammunition to kind of hurt the spouse. One thing that I think that I've always really focused on is making sure that those who were in my kiddo's life remain in my kid's life. I make a really conscious effort, probably go above and beyond, making sure that as holidays come up, events come up, things like that, that we're reaching out and making sure that grandparents are, you know, still involved. And even if that doesn't involve my ex-husband, like even if it's just going straight to the other side and being like, hey, I know you have this coming up. Like, how can I get my kids to you? How can they be involved in your life still? Because I think that's important to maintain those relationships, even if I'm not specifically maintaining a relationship at the current time with the boys' dad. So I think that's something that, you know, we really try to pride ourselves on a little bit. When it comes to that, I think that that's something that's been important to me because I always wanted to make sure that my kids and that other side of the family still had the opportunity to still love on my children. Mm-hmm. They didn't ask for that divorce anymore that my kids asked for it. And I always wanted to make sure that, you know, I mean, I even gave up my holidays. Like there's Christmas is a day that I'm generally off. Thanksgiving is a day I'm off. And I know those are the days that, you know, his family celebrates. So we would let them go over there and maybe I'm by myself. I get them every other day of the year. So no big deal. So that's one thing I think for us on our side that has kind of worked is just like sharing the love, making sure everybody maintains the relationship. And sometimes that takes effort on my part. It's me doing the forework on it. It's not necessarily my ex-husband making those connections, but it's me maintaining them and making sure that my kids do. And you know what? They're really great about telling me how much they appreciate that. And it's good to hear too.
That is, that yeah. always feels real good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What do you got on your side a little bit?
What do I got? So I would say that, you know, I think in that initial podcast where we started navigating this with Alex, we chatted a little bit about just I would say that I probably have a bit more of what you'd consider, you know, like a traditional divorce per se, in that we share custody 50-50 and have from the get-go. And as Adele mentioned at the start, and I think it's a really important mention, because what I am going to share about what we do good now definitely took time to do good now. Mm-hmm. There were many years prior to where we're at now that were real, real wishy-washy, and we weren't doing a lot of things that great because we just didn't know, and we had to heal and kind of find ourselves in the place we're at now. So what I would say from that perspective of, you know, a strictly like 50-50 custody, and we have four kids and they age mm-hmm. range from 18 to 9, and I'm going to fact check that because it has bothered my brain for a couple, probably almost 2 months now. When we started this podcast, I gave the wrong ages of my
you
kids.
You did?
I actually said Blake was 10. My baby is not 10. He is 9. He will not be 10 till June of this year. So he was very little when Matt and I first separated. So my baby would have been like a baby when we separated. Mm-hmm. And then my oldest at the time would have been in that like fifth, sixth grade. Mm. So he is now about to leave for the Air Force in a couple weeks, which I've decided that's going to be a podcast topic too, is navigating sending off your babies.
Yeah. I'm not even ready for that podcast. I don't want to think about that podcast.
I know it.
I've been watching from afar and I'm like, let's not talk about it.
That's how I feel too. And I'm not very afar. It's coming
now.
So they definitely, our ebbs and flows have been big over this past time. And our divorce was not final for many years after we separated. So, you know, it was one of those where we were separated and we were doing multiple schedule arrangements. So sometimes we even did like a 3-5-2 before, which because Blake was so little, it only made sense. There was, you know, he just couldn't go that many days without some mom time or dad, period. So once we kind of got through and found some balance for both of us, what I say we're doing really awesome with now truly is running our schedule mm-hmm. and making sure the kids know that, like, even if it is a mom or, you know, if it's a mom week or a dad week, they absolutely have full access to us. They have full access to whatever it is they need as well, which was really kind of a ridiculous thing that we power struggled over initially, was just stupid stuff like clothes and books. Mm-hmm. And if they need it, they should have it, whatever house they're at. Mm-hmm. You know, bottom line.
Do you do two sets or do you share back and forth? Like, is there a lot of packing that goes on or is there just like certain items? I do feel like you guys have a real well-run ship. I always watch this from afar. I'm like, ooh, I could not do that.
You know, we did some sets before, like in our younger years, and that worked okay, but it gets kind of pricey.
Right.
So for the sake of saving some money, we just got to that point where we'll just share it. So if it didn't come home, if you got to have those pants and they're at dad's, we'll go grab them. And it becomes a lot easier once somebody can drive.
Yeah.
Too. When the kids become drivers, then they just go stop in at dad's, you know, like, or mom's. It just, that makes it so much easier. But we definitely have, totally put that, even electronic, you know, like we really power struggled for a long time on just sharing things, and then got to that point where like, this is ridiculous. We're being mm-hmm. stupid. Get over ourselves, blah, blah, blah. So what we run now and have for many years, like the better part of 5 years, is just a straight 7-7. So the kids, Fridays is their switch day. They know it. Their teachers know it. Everybody knows it. And that's when they shift buses and wherever and do mom and dad's. And that has truly, it has worked real well mm-hmm. for us. So that we get, you know, our own routine and schedule for that week with that parent, and then they just get it by parent's house.
Right.
And I feel like they've definitely, they're doing good, and that's really what my barometer is okay, how are the kids doing?
Everybody's, yeah, sane and seeming like they're getting enough time with everybody.
Exactly.
Yeah. You know, and I do think you guys do a really good job of that. Like, sometimes I think I may be blessed not to have a schedule, because I don't know how I would.
No doubt. I mean, sometimes I am. I'm envious. I see that, like, you never not have them.
Yeah.
And that can go both it ways, as both we've ways. Talked about before. because, you know, yeah. there's also the part of your brain that says to you, like, you didn't have kids to only have them half the
right.
time.
Right.
And that took me a long time to really, and I'm not probably even totally settled with it yet, but to be mm-hmm. settled in with it. And I think, again, where we have come as co-parents so far has helped with being okay with, okay, we are sharing time, but we also are still so involved on what would be like you're not your custodial week, that it just feels okay.
Right, right. Yeah, I mean, it's definitely kind of tough to balance that. There was a period of time where I wouldn't say I was like sharing custody, but that we'd have more weekends, like every other weekend kind of situation going on, where the boys would sometimes go spend time with my now ex-husband and like a relative of his. And mm-hmm. it was a little quirky to get, you know, used to, but then that kind of shifted and changed too. So for us, our routine involves, you know, a lot of us.
Right.
I guess, you know, and then I have the added element of I'm remarried. So you watch the podcast, we have Drew, we have a stepdad. And then that begins this whole new co-parenting process, because now you have, you know, a new co-parent involved in this as well. And like they have their opinions and decisions, and that comes into parenting life. And then in Eric's situation, he just recently had another baby, which is real fun. Like now my boys have a sibling. I couldn't give them a sibling. So this is a new exciting adventure for us. And again, like maybe my boys aren't necessarily as connected with their dad, but I always try to make sure that the mom of the baby knows that this is their brother for life, your family now. And we really try to make sure that the boys are available for whatever this little guy needs. You know, it was great. We went and, you know, met him in the hospital, and she is amazing enough to let me be a part of that by her own choice. Again, I was very much like, hey, I don't want to come barging in on a new hormonal mom, but I will make sure my boys are there and I do not have to be like involved in this. But she was nice enough to, I mean, God, we all know I love babies. So
it was, how are you going to turn the Minnesota baby lady away?
And you know, like you look like my baby. So I was like, he looks like Flynn. He's super cute. It's real fun. Real cute. So that's kind of a new endeavor for us too. And then like adding in our case, like we've got Drew has a step parent, and that's its whole other like set of, you know, and I can't even speak to what we do well on that, because I think we're still navigating.
Right. Cause you've navigated just like some dating partners per se with, you know, with Eric.
Yeah.
But the full time commitment of like a marriage partner like you have with Drew in co-parenting, that's so different than
even
like some of the dating experiences.
Yeah. And you know, I kind of like consider myself maybe a little blessed on that, because I've tried to put myself in those shoes. Like, what if my boys call someone else mom? Like, that's where my brain goes. Like, that's what my first instinct. And I know that, like, obviously, if they got to the point to love someone to that point, I know that I would accept that and be fine with it. But whoa, my brain can't even wrap around it. So that's really hard to even think about. But yes, Eric had a long-term girlfriend that he lived with for many years, I think about 5 years. And so one of the topics I wanted to cover that worked well for us with them was we would do those suppers once in a while. Like, in the beginning, that started off real well. And so this was a way where we would have Eric and Christina and her daughter, which actually her name was also Remy. So we had Big Remington and Little Remington. Big Remy, Little Remy. Still to this day, we call her Little Remy.
Yes, we do.
She's still involved in our lives. Like, they have separated, but we have kept that connection. She was a baby, you know?
Which is so fun. And it just speaks to volumes to, like, just naturally who you are as a human.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean... No. Little Remy goes to Adele's dad's every morning before school.
Yeah, she does. I mean, she's just part of the family at this point.
She is.
Yeah.
They cook for her.
Yeah. I mean, cook eggs.
She's part of the family.
She gets a ride to school with Grandpa. He buys donuts. Like, it's just a thing that we have. So it might be a little weird and quirky, but we enjoy it. But one of the ways to kind of ease the boys into that, and it also, I think, helped ease Eric into meeting Drew a little bit, was that we would just have them over and have dinner with everybody. And again, like, Remy, Little Remy was like a baby. So she's grown a lot over these years now, because is she a year younger than Blake, I think? Mm-hmm. She's like seven or eight. Yeah.
So she must be a third grader.
Yeah. Yep. I believe so.
So it's been, I mean, a while.
Yeah. They were together a while. And so that was really helpful. Like, we would just sit down and have dinner together. It wasn't anything too crazy, but it allowed everybody to just spend some time together and get to know each other, and the boys to get to know Little Remy, Christina to get to know the boys, mm-hmm. to make it more comfortable if we were going to have those moments where they were just over there.
And I feel like it would open that opportunity for the grown-ups to build trust with each other. Because you often, you know, I obsessively read, like, every book about divorce and co-parenting and blah, blah, blah. And one thing that you often hear that is a struggle is when your co-parent is dating people and you know, all of a sudden you have no say, but your kids are exposed to them and there's safety things that come up and just that natural fear of, what are they going to call them? Are they going to call them mom? Or, you know, what are these things? What's all going to happen? Where a dinner like that would just build leaps and bounds at building trust and rapport with, like, okay, I, like, know this lady a little bit. Mm-hmm. I know where she works. I know what she likes to eat. You know, like, just these little basics that humanize them.
Yeah. Like, you're literally just a human.
Yeah.
Because I think sometimes what happens
so
too.
So intimidating.
And I think our third and final little, like, you know, wrap up point of things. And this is going to be a real obvious one, but way harder. Like, easier said than done. But one of the things I think you constantly wonder about, like, in a co-parenting situation, you know, is what's the narrative that the other person may have heard about you? We all know that, like, we've gone through this tumultuous time. Like, there was a divorce. It obviously wasn't pretty. You didn't go into that thinking that that was what was going to happen. Right. And I think everybody takes something different away from it. You know, my version of how my divorce went down probably sounds very different of what Eric's would sound like, 100%. You know? Mm-hmm. And so sometimes what you go into is like, well, what's the narrative that this poor lady...
It's such a good point.
That he's dating might think of me. Right. So for me, I kind of found that it was maybe that I was a little, like, they'd come off like I was intimidating and maybe not very friendly.
Right.
So humanizing that a little bit, and especially with his first relationship with Little Rem, I would say that her mom kind of had a little bit of fear and anxiety just in general. Mm-hmm. And so I think she felt like, well, who is this person? Is she going to be nice to me? Is she going to be welcoming of me? And just so that, like, helped ease that tension of, like, hey, like it or not, you're going to be in my children's life because I can't control who my now not partner
dates,
is dating. So, like, no matter how I feel about this, we got to get to know each other and find out the things we like about each other. Maybe there's things we dislike, but we got to find a common ground.
Yes. And then they can create their own narrative, because I think that is such an important point.
Yes.
They are absolutely, I can't even imagine the narratives that like potentially were created on the backside for my ex when describing me. So like, I just think the opportunity to at least get your own narrative. Obviously, they're going to hear their the ex's narrative and
that's
do
fine.
What they want with it. Yep. Because I'm sure there's some real truths in there, but like
that
at the same time,
share.
That's right. At the same time, having your own and being able to say, you know, yeah, that might have went real south for you guys, but she ain't that bad.
Yeah.
You know, like just those kind of things. Like, oh, she's really a human. And like, no matter how psycho crazy you describe her as, she's not that psycho crazy.
Right.
You
and
know,
my
just
relationship,
a little bit.
And my relationship with that person can be different than yours.
Yes, absolutely.
Because like whatever the love and the chemistry that you share between what was a husband, like that's different than like a relationship you can have with a friend, right?
Yes.
So I really do try to compartmentalize that in my head because like, you know, who's with my ex-husband is not my ex-husband. You know what I mean? Like that doesn't define who that person is. So I always feel like at least at a bare minimum, like let's give this a fair shot to like find each other's common ground and build on that. And then the final thing, and this is much easier said than done. And like, I am not going to say I'm innocent on this because I absolutely would guarantee at some point I've slipped up on this, but I really do cognizantly try to watch my wording around my children. And it's kind of for the same reason that I feel like I should be given an opportunity to own my own narrative with maybe someone who is with my now ex-partner, is that I feel like my kids should have the opportunity to have their own narrative of who their dad is. And so I do my best that, you know, the adult business is not their business. And I really hope that I keep that out of their earshot and try my best to really allow them to build their own relationship, their own opinion, their own life guides for who and how their relationship is with their dad. I don't want that to be tainted by what my feelings were because, again, my feelings about my marriage are very different than the feelings that the boys probably have about their dad and their parental relationship. And it shouldn't be, you know, marred by things that are adult problems, like, you know, talking about things that just aren't relevant to them at all.
Exactly.
And so I do try to be really cognizant of that. I've always had a great respect for Drew. Like, he really does, you know, he definitely came into it with the utmost respect of like, I'm not here to replace their dad. Mm-hmm. I'm here to help with this situation. However, that's grown and turned over time. You know, it's different than it was when it started. But definitely, we are both on the same page about it doesn't matter, like, what our opinions are. We want the boys to form their own.
Yes.
Which is tough sometimes because sometimes you're watching them hurt or go through things and you just, like, want to spill it. You know, you're like, yeah, that asshole, you know, like here's this explicit language we have to have on my podcast disclaimer. So I'm sorry about that, podcast land. But, you know, I mean, it's hard not to want to sometimes resonate with those feelings in the moment, especially if you're seeing a hurt kid, where I really try to back that off and be like, okay, like, I'm not going to play devil's advocate though either. I'm not going to try to sugarcoat it either. I try to just listen and like take it in. And if they need something or they need a piece of like, this is how we can move forward, I'll try to, you know, give that up. But we really try to stay cognizant of not speaking ill of the ex-partner. And again, I think we could all preach that to the choir. It's much easier said than done, but it's harmful.
It is. But just making sure little ears.
Oh, they can hear everything.
I know it.
Like you're on the phone and you don't think they're listening to you. They're listening to you.
They absolutely
They're three
are.
Rooms away. They hear you. But like when you need something from them, they don't hear you at all.
It's crazy.
They're completely
how
deaf.
Convenient that is.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Mm-hmm. So that's always one thing too. It's like them little ears are always around the corner just trying to kind of to listen into things.
Yes. Especially when they know, you know, there could be some dynamic that they want to hear about. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's a tough one. I just think that it's easy. We naturally as humans complain, like we voice our opinions. That's part of life. But doing so like on private time, especially when it involves the other parent, for me personally, I really want my kids to form their own opinion.
Yep.
You know, I don't want to be the reason that they think anything.
Right.
You know,
absolutely. I mean, because genetically they're half of that human. Mm-hmm. So they take it personal. you know, I think that's important for people to remember is that, even in the darkest days, it's really important that.
Well, yeah. And like one thing I found too, like, so with my older son, you know, he's 16 and we're at a point where like his opinions are fairly formed and we've gotten there how we've gotten there and it is what it is. And someone's out there listening to this podcast that, you know, might be a family member, or, you know, whatever of my ex-husband, this is not to speak ill of him. Remington is very, very clear with his feelings. He's an adult and not even a tiny body anymore. Christ, he's like almost, he's a man child. But, you know, sometimes with him, he looks to me for resonating with him, which can be hard. And we just recently had a situation and I'm proud of him for how he handled it. Although like it was really uncomfortable. And there were moments where I was rightfully so upset about what was like going on with the situation. And it's something really trivial. So I'm just going to say that too. Like, it's kind of dumb.
A lot of people had thoughts about it though.
Yes,
in your family.
Really, they did. So we'll wrap this up because it's probably going to be a long podcast, but sort of an interesting story. So last year, my son Remington played varsity hockey as a freshman. Like if you're a Minnesotan, like this is a big deal, right? Like Remy played varsity as a freshman, like really proud of him. He works hard. He loves the sport. And one of the things that they do is parents' night. And like, I am green to this like varsity hockey mom thing. Like, I don't even know what this is. In fact, I don't even know if I knew it was parents' night when I showed up. I don't think I did. I think it was like, hey, you got to, you got to get over here and get a jersey and like, you're getting out on the ice. And I was like, what is going on? But here is something crazy. Like Remy obviously knew and didn't really share it with me. So he was kind of like keeping it into a point. But one thing he does know. So like for all the things that like maybe we don't attend or don't do, one thing is like my ex-husband shows up to every hockey game, every home hockey game. Okay. And it's like, I know it, like in his mind, he's proud of those boys and you know, he played hockey and like they get their athletic ability from him. Like not from me. I can't even walk without falling down. So I'm sure it is fun to watch those boys out there ripping up the ice. For whatever reason, Remington's opinion of this has just been kind of like, this is what you show up to. And I don't.
In a kind of a sour way.
Yeah, like see a lot of you otherwise. Like you're just kind of reigning in my glory and it feels funny maybe. I don't know how else to describe it really. But long story short, I go out for parents' night and you're in this line and like the skater comes up and they give you a flower and you take a picture and you just go on with it, right? And I'm listening to all these parents and their names get called. It goes by number. So Remy's 34. So we're like the last, like, so, you know, I'm just kind of listening to this all and we get out there and it's our turn. And well, first of all, he cuts his name to Remy, which I absolutely hate. Like it's Remington. And when he was on the ice, I always used to tell him like, imagine when you're bigger and we can yell Remington Chisholm. It's three syllables and it's nice. And he just cuts off the Ington and it's like Remy. So that's how they say it, Remy Chisholm. So they say like Remy Chisholm and they just say son of Adele. And there was no mention to me. And I knew immediately like that was not great because definitely dad's in the stands.
Right.
And I didn't know they weren't going to like say his name, like nothing at all. It was just son of Adele. And I mean, I actually hit him, I think, on the ice and was like, Remy. And he's like, what? You know, and then I figured out.
I think he did control that.
He totally did.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, I told him not to say it. And I was like, oh, boy, I'm going to get in trouble for this. Like, it's going to be my fault. Right. You know what I mean?
This is a grown-up. Grown-up disaster.
Yep. Luckily, it went like, meh, as like, okay as it could. Like, obviously, there was upsetness.
Yeah.
But it was actually received. Like, I had nothing to do with this. Like, I knew nothing about it. Like, literally blindsided on the ice, just like you were. And Eric's like, I should just leave this game right now. And it's like, well, I mean, yeah, if that's how you really feel, because you didn't get out on the ice, like, to leave the game. I mean, that's just childish, right?
Yeah.
So we kind of left it at that. Well, then before this year started, the team manager came to me and basically said, hey, I just want to let you know, since I know you didn't know last year, we verified parent information with all the kids. And like Rem has basically said, see you out on the ice. I'm not doing dad. And I said, okay, like that's his decision. Like he is, you know, dang near an adult.
Enough. Yep.
Yeah. And that if that's, I think, brave of him to make a statement like that. That's how I felt about it. Like, really, if that is how you feel and you went out of your way to say that, like, I will 100% stand by you and respect your decision. Well, then parents' night got closer and the feelings started coming out. And it was very much text messages to him and, you know, just saying like he'd really like to be a part of parents' night, wants out on the ice. And it just got to the point where it was so much pressure. And I felt I had really mixed feelings about it because it's like his moment, you know, like it really shouldn't have to do with anybody else. And then he was put in this position of like having to make a decision where he already made his damn decision. He said what he wanted to say, but now was asking for it to be reversed because maybe it was like embarrassing to other people, but like that was his choice to make it. So that it was hard for me to stand by and watch what was happening because like I felt sad for him, you know. And then he was kind of like ignoring the like what to do about it. I mean, it got to like literally the night before parents' night, and I was like, Remington, you have to make a call one way or another.
A little bit,
and like, right? I got your back either way. You just tell me what it is so that we know, so that this is not like some big ordeal at your game. Like, look, we're leaving on a vacation right afterwards. We don't want this stress. Like, you don't want this stress. Make a call. If it's that he's not on the ice, I will 100% stand by you, take the brunt for it, whatever you need me to do. You're going to let him on the ice, let him on the ice. Like, we need to know.
Right.
So he says to me basically that he was kind of sick of the guilt and that he was just going to let his dad come out on the ice and let him have his 15 seconds if that's what he needed, basically is how he worded it to me. And it was handled fine.
Yep.
You know, we let the team manager know like, hey, you know, make sure you add dad's name back to the roster here. Let him come out, take his picture or whatever, and went through the motions of it. But it was just kind of one of those moments where at least I felt like he got to like, he controlled the situation as much as he could. I think that, you know, the outside influences, like that was really hard to watch for me from the side, because part of me just wanted to scream like, man, like imagine the courage it must have taken him to say it in the first place, to like go to the team manager and be like, no, this is my stance. And then like be backed into a corner to like undo that based on other people's like perceptions. You know what I mean? Like, he wanted to make a statement he didn't get to make.
Yeah.
But I think then he also looked at it as like,
maybe it's not worth making.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because this is just too much. And like, we all know our own truths to the situation, you know? And if that really makes you feel good for that little bit, so be it. And at least like, I felt like it was handled well.
Yeah.
There's a lot of parent drama that night. So I felt like we actually did real good. Just gonna throw that out there. It was real tumultuous.
Oh.
Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, so that is something I just think like, if you're in a situation, and even if it is hard, because it always is hard.
It is.
It's never easy. Even if you are amicably, whatever that means,
right,
those people who amicably divorce, you know, it's still probably hard not to mention the faults of the other parent, if you can rein it in. I think later when you look at it, you kind of get to feel good about it. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't do that.
Yes.
You know, like you might have said a million things about me that I've heard come back to me, but I can like at least stand here and say like, I didn't waste
my energy on that.
So only good vibes. So those are our three takeaways, I think, unless you have anything to add that you think you rock star at.
I don't think so.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I know. It's just not an easy subject.
No.
But for those of you going through it, I definitely recommend like get yourself a good attorney, get yourself a good support group and some good friends.
Yep.
And keep your head high. Because you know what? It works itself out. Single parenting.
It does.
Actually, it was some of the best times of my life, man.
Yes.
I really enjoyed being a single mom in that way of like, I really got to know myself, my kids. Like, for me, it was a good time. I know that's not the case for everybody.
Right.
And circumstances are very different to what led you there. You know what I mean?
But I do think a lot of times when it is truly meant to be a path of divorce, once you find both the partners are stabilized again, it is a good thing.
Yeah.
And truly the kids, I mean, there's many times that my older kids have noted that there's just so much less friction.
Yeah.
And that's important.
Yeah.
That is what I wanted them to be out of.
Right.
Was the constant battles we were having.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean,
so their insight to know these things have improved. Those are wins. Those are little takeaways that I love.
Yeah, that's a big takeaway. I mean, if you're living in this constant like anxiety, trauma, fear of like the next fight breaking out or whatever it might be, like it's a good place to just be where you can see both parents are happy and stable and they both love you and they can communicate and like the world turns, right? Like it keeps going.
Yes.
And that's good. So it's a good thing. You can be in the room at the same time in the same place, you can host a graduation party.
Yeah.
You had a ton of bigs this.
We did. We really did.
You guys did great. Mm-hmm. Everybody showed up. It was good.
It was.
So, all right, you guys. Well, that's our takeaways for today. A little co-parenting navigation for you starting off the new year. Thank you for tuning in to Rolling in the Deep podcast. Make sure to check us out on all our social media platforms. You've got Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, all the things. We'll see you later.
Soon to be YouTube.
Yeah.
Happy New Year. Bye-bye.